Good morning. We are going to be in the book of Numbers. We're almost done. We've only got like 3 weeks left of Numbers. We'll be in chapter 30 today. There are 36 chapters, which means we're going to have some grouping of the chapters in the next few weeks. I'll tell you this, Numbers has been really challenging to find application and how to bring that into our lives today. This is one of those passages that may seem very foreign to us in living in a 21st American culture and a 21st American society, but there are truths here that we can still grab a hold to and apply to our lives. So it's talking about vows. It's talking about promises that we make invoking God's name. And so a vow is supposed to be an absolute promise. It's not just a flippant, oh, I promise I'll be there. But a vow is something that we take very seriously. It's something that we, like I said, it's an absolute promise of how we're trying to communicate and what we're trying to say and how we're going to try to live our lives according to whatever promise we make. And so the question is, or we're going to look at today, is a little bit of an issue of what happens when you make a vow, but it conflicts with some other obligation that you've got. For example, what if an individual makes a vow, but it conflicts with honoring your parents? So there's that issue there. And so this text, this today, is going to deal with that. Understanding it's a different culture. So, like I said, some of these rules that we're going to read today, like many of those we find in the book of Numbers, aren't one-for-one for our culture. It's very different, and it is a culture that is still lived out in a lot of places in the world, but not in the culture we live in. So let's read chapter 30. You'll see what I mean by that, and we'll jump into the text and see what it's trying to teach us. It said, Moses told the leaders of the Israelite tribes, this is what the Lord has commanded. When a man makes a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to put himself under an obligation, he must not break his word. He must do whatever he has promised. When a woman in her father's house during her youth makes a vow to the Lord or puts herself under an obligation, and her father hears about her vow or the obligation she put herself under, and he says nothing to her, all her vows and every obligation she puts herself under are binding. But if the father prohibits her on the day he hears about it, none of her vows and none of the obligations she put herself under are binding. The Lord will absolve her because her father has prohibited her. If a woman marries while her vows or the rash commitment she herself made are binding, and her husband hears about it and says nothing to her, when he finds out her vows are binding, and the obligations she puts herself under are binding. But if her husband prohibits her when he hears about it, he will cancel her vow that is binding or the rash commitment she herself made, and the Lord will forgive her. Every vow of widow or divorced woman puts herself under is binding on her. Verse 10, if a woman in her husband's house has made a vow or put herself under an obligation with an oath, and her husband hears about it, says nothing to her, and does not prohibit her, all her vows are binding, and every obligation she put herself under is binding. But if her husband cancels them on the day he hears about it, nothing that came from her lips, whether her vows or her obligation, is binding. Her husband has canceled them, and the Lord will absolve her. Her husband may confirm or cancel any vow or any sworn obligation to deny herself. If her husband says nothing at all to her from day to day, he confirms all her vows and obligations, which are binding. He has confirmed them because he said nothing to her when he heard about them. But if he cancels them after he hears about them, he will be responsible for her commitment. These are the statutes that the Lord commanded Moses concerning the relationship between a man and his wife, or between a father and his daughter in the house during her youth. So that's quite a passage there. That's quite a aspect of the culture that you and I are not used to. We don't have these types of relationships in which, as a father, I can cancel my daughter's promises, or as a husband, I can cancel my wife's promises. In our culture, in our society, we have a lot more individuality and a lot more of the ability for an individual to make their own decisions and their own promises. But in their culture, it's very different. So what I want to talk about today is the fact that words are not cheap. You often hear words are cheap, which in an aspect or one aspect of that, when someone says words are not cheap, what they're really saying is your actions are proving your words wrong. That you can say what you want, but let me see what happens. And so in that aspect, I understand that words are cheap when you would say something like that. But when it comes to God, our words are not cheap. What we say and what we promise needs to be what we do. We need to have we need to be a people who do not make promises, who do not say things, and then do something counter to that. And so Jesus will say this in the New Testament, let your yes be yes and your no be no. In other words, keep your promises, keep your word. You don't have to say, oh, I promise, which means, well, I might have lied before, but I'm really serious now. I promise I'm going to be there. I promise I'm going to do this. I promise I'm going to do that. If you say something, do it in all possible ways. And so today, these vows that we're talking about here in the text are focusing on family relationships here. Men were leaders of their family legally. It wasn't just a cultural thing, but it was legal. A man was head of his wife legally, not just metaphorically, not just spiritually, not just scripturally, but legally, the wife could not do a lot of the things that women can do in our culture today. And that doesn't mean that it's bad. It just means it's different. Our culture is different, and that's okay. But their culture was different, and that's okay. And so don't look at these texts and say, how dare God be such, you know, such a man and such a woman-hating God. That's not what God's doing. The point of the man being in charge was that God protected the woman through the man, and that the man was obligated to take care of his daughters, and he was obligated to take care of his children, and obligated to take care of his wife. And so it's not that God is a woman-hating God. Matter of fact, you go to the New Testament is filled with women who do things for God and in God's name. Very contrary to the culture of the time. And so when people look at Scripture and say, oh, Paul hated women or God hates women, and I read the text and I'm like, you are missing so much there. So again, don't read this and say, oh, God is hating on women and making women subordinate and making women lower than men. That's not what is going on here. What he's doing is he's protecting women. And so Moses is going to begin and talk about vows, which again are promises, solemn promises. It's a solemn promise to the Lord. I promise to God, I swear to God, X, Y, or Z. And he begins with men first. And he tells men, whatever you promise, whatever solemn vow you make, you have to keep that. Whenever you make a promise to God, whenever you make some solemn vow, whenever you invoke God's name, you better keep that promise. You better keep that vow. You have no recourse to back off of that vow. You have no recourse to say, oh, I changed my mind. You have no recourse to say, oh, something better came up, so I'm going to miss that, or I'm going to not do that. Men have no way out on this. If you make a promise, you make a vow, you better keep it, or else you're found guilty before God. And then he begins talking about women. He begins talking about how these ladies have some ways out, if you will. They have some clauses in which if they make a promise, then it's possible for that promise not to be fulfilled and her not be found guilty. See, because if a man makes a promise and he is someone who backs off of that, he takes an oath and he makes a promise and he doesn't do it, then he is guilty before God. And it's sin and it's wrong. I said, but these women, they have some outs, if you will. The command is cut and dry. The main focus of the chapter, though, is about women and about how they are able to make promises or make vows, but have someone cancel that out. Now, there's again, in this society, women were legally subordinate to their father or to their husband in this ancient society. But notice this in verse 9, women who have been divorced or women who have been widowed have the same obligations as a married man. If a woman who is divorced or widowed makes a promise, she is obligated to keep that promise. If she makes some kind of vow, she is obligated to keep that vow. Why? Because there is no man that she is dependent upon. She doesn't have a husband to which she is dependent upon. She doesn't have a father in which she is dependent upon. And so whenever she makes a promise, she better keep it or else she is found guilty. And then there are three instances that we have here, three situations that are talked about. Number one is when an unmarried woman makes a promise, she is subject to her father. If an unmarried woman makes a promise and her father hears about it the first time, whenever he hears about it and he's like, no, you can't make that promise, then he has the right to deny it. And she will not be found guilty of sin because the father, who is legally responsible for her, has made it null and void. Now, this isn't, I promise I'm going to talk to you later. This isn't, I promise I'll call you after supper. This isn't some promise that we make that, you know, we'll have pizza later. This is a solemn vow. I promise the God that I will do X, Y, or Z. And if the father hears it and realizes this is a promise that is made and is not something that can be fulfilled, then he has the right to say, no, you can't make that kind of promise. The second situation is the woman who's married, who has taken a vow previously. So in this instance, is when a woman, a young girl, makes a vow and the father hears about it and the father approves, but then she gets married and the husband hears about it and he doesn't approve, then he can make it to where she doesn't have to fulfill that vow. And if she doesn't keep that vow, she is not found guilty. Okay, so you've got young women who make a vow who are dependent on their father. You've got those young women who are dependent upon their father who later get married, and now they come under a different legal leader. And then you have married women who make vows while they are under their husbands. So what happens there? If she makes a vow and her husband hears about it and he thinks that's a bad vow, then they are able to cancel that out. So the father or husband does not exercise authority arbitrarily. Notice that he, it's when he hears it, he has to deal with it then. It's not something he can decide weeks later or months later or years later. I think that was a bad vow. Let me back off of that. Let me make it the way you can't keep that vow. His silence constitutes consent in bearing the vow. So what will happen is if he commands her or he forces her to nullify her vow after he's heard about it, and weeks or years later he says, nah, let's not keep that promise, then he is found guilty of her nullifying her vow, not her. Notice where the weight of the sin is. It's on the husband. It's not on the wife, because he made her nullify the vow when he already knew about it and was okay with it. He consented to it previously. So what does that mean for us in our culture? I know that there are in our culture that wives may practice subordination to the husband as a spiritual exercise and as a spiritual thing which God commands, and I think is correct. But legally, if she makes a promise, she makes a vow, and she can do that on her own, and then the husband hears it and says no, then how do we deal with that? How do we deal with that? Words are not cheap. Promises are easy to make in a moment, but can be more difficult to keep than we first imagined. Vows are promises made that invoke the Lord. I don't know if you realize this, but we don't make very many vows in our culture today. But there is one place where vows are made, and that's at a wedding. And at a wedding, you're making vows to one another. These are solemn promises. These are promises like, I promise to love you forever. I promise to love you when things are good and when things are bad. I promise to take care of you when things are going good, whether we are people who have money or when we don't. I promise to be with you when times are tough and when times are good. I promise to never leave you. I promise. And where are these promises done? They're done before God, and they're done before an audience. These are vows. These are deep, solemn promises that are made. These are the types of things that we better make sure that we keep. There are other times when people make vows, though. You ever been in a situation where you're like, okay, God, I promise if you get me out of this mess, I will do whatever you want me to do. I will go to church the rest of my life. Every Sunday, whenever the doors are open, I'm there. Just get me out of this ticket. A solemn promise is not, I will go when I feel like it. I will go when I'm feeling up to it that day. You make a promise, I'm going to do it. When you get me out of this mess, I will promise that I will do X, Y, or Z. Or maybe it's, God, if you will heal me from this disease. Or God, if you heal my child from this disease. Or God, you heal my spouse from this disease. I promise I will do whatever you want. Or maybe, God, if you will fix this relationship. If you will heal my marriage. Or if you will give me a relationship. I will do whatever you want. I will serve you all the days of my life. And you invoke God's name. It may be something easy for you to say, but is it something that you plan on really fulfilling? And when things get good, when things get easy, you say, oh, I really didn't mean it. I'm feeling tired today. I'll stay in bed. Or do you keep your promise? Do you keep your promise to the Lord? I was reading a book. It's about how to be a pastor, from a guy writing this way back in the 1600s in England. And he's talked about when you go to visit people when they're sick and they promise, you know, if I get better, I'm going to go to church, and you pray for them and they get better. He says, make sure you go back to their house and remind them of their promise. Remind them that they said if they got better that they would go to church or they would do X, Y, or Z. And the pastor says, make sure you go back and you remind them to keep that promise. And that's what God is saying here. Make sure you keep your promise. When you invoke God, when you invoke Him, you make sure you keep your promise. A promise is worth more when it costs more. A promise is worth more when it costs more. That's why we say, God, if you will just do this, not and say, oh, I wish we had pizza for supper. That's not a kind of thing. God, if you will just give me pizza. We don't do those type things. But God, if you will heal my child, when it costs more, it's worth more. God only waives the consequences for dependent women in this text. There's an example of a man who makes a vow in Scripture of a horrible situation. And I've heard preachers try to explain it away, try to say, oh, well, he really didn't do that. God wouldn't let him do that. But in the book of Judges, chapter 11, there's a guy named Jephthah who makes a foolish promise. And he says, God, if you will help me win this battle, if you will help me beat these people, then I will sacrifice the first thing that comes out of the door of my house. And so he wins the battle and he comes back. And what comes out to meet him is not a goat or a dog or a cat, but the first thing to come out of his house, come through the door, is his daughter. And Jephthah keeps his vow. Scripture doesn't go into great detail about it, but it does have him sending her away for a little while, and it says she comes back, and then she will be sacrificed. Now, I don't know why God would allow that to happen. I don't know why he would not send a prophet or someone to stop it. It doesn't make sense to me in our culture today. But the man made a promise. He made a vow. He made a solemn promise to God that he would do this. And I do believe that he did it. Which teaches us something. You better be careful what you promise. You better be careful what vows you make. You better be careful the way you invoke God's name. There are three things I want to end with that we can relate regardless of what culture it is. The first thing is this. Promises made to God are serious. That promises made to God are serious. Like I said, when Jephthah makes this promise, he took it serious. Don't ever promise that you will sacrifice your child. It's a bad promise to make. But when you make a promise to God, God, if you will do this for me, or God, you will change my husband, God, you will change my wife, God, you will change my child, I promise that I will do whatever, and God does it, you better keep your promise. Promises made to God are serious. Secondly, we should consider the effects that our promises or our vows or our pledges have on other people. How are the promises you're making to God going to affect those around you? That's why the father or that's why the husband had the ability to nullify it. What if the wife makes a promise that, you know, she will never be intimate with her husband again if only God will do X, Y, or Z? And the husband hears that and he's like, oh, that's a bad promise. That's our relationship you're giving up for something else. Because women had the ability to make that promise, had the ability to make that vow, which would have been one that the commentaries say the husbands would have said, that's a bad vow to make. Let's nullify it. How are the promises you're making affecting others around you? And the last thing is this. People who control other individuals should not be arbitrary or fickle. How are you as a parent when you have children, are you arbitrary? Do you sometimes it's your promises are yes, sometimes it's no. Sometimes your word is kept, sometimes your word is not. Are you fickle about that? Or are you consistent? But sometimes it is necessary to annul someone's decision. But it should be done with consistent reason and not just arbitrarily done. Wives, before you make a promise, make sure that your husband is in on it. Husbands, before you make a promise to God, make sure your wife is aware of it because it affects them. And even though it may affect them in a negative way, doesn't mean you don't make the promise. If God is leading you to make a promise and do something and fulfill it, then you do it. But don't just do it arbitrarily. Don't make a promise to God and have some empty promise. If God would just get you out of a ticket, then you know what? I will give $1 million to the church. You know you're never going to keep that promise. Unless you got $1 million and you want to give to the church. I don't think any of us do. But as we close up and as we think about these promises that we make. What have you promised God? What promises are you leaving on the table? Because you are found responsible for those promises. You are responsible for whatever promise you make. You make a promise at a wedding. Are you keeping those promises? Husbands, are you loving your wives the way you promised you would? Wives, are you loving your husbands the way you promised you would? Through thick and thin, through the good times and through the bad, are you there? Do you love them? Do you care about them? How are you taking care of your children? Promise God if you just give your children, then you would raise them up to be warriors for Him. Are you doing that? As we close, I want you to spend some time in prayer thinking about that, thinking about the promises you made to God. Maybe you've done some things that maybe you need to ask forgiveness for, and maybe there's some promises you need to fulfill. Maybe there's some promises you need to make to God and fulfill those. Will you spend some time in prayer, and I'll close this in a minute. Father, I pray that we would be a people who, as you say in Scripture, our yes will be yes and our no will be no, meaning that we don't have to make promises. That we would be people who are known to keep our word. That we wouldn't just throw things around and be fickle about it. That we would take into account the promises we make. That as we live our lives, as we walk with you, that as we take care of our families, that the promises we make will be promises that bring them closer to you and bring us closer to you. I thank you for a chance to worship you today. I thank you for tough passages in Scripture that call us to not be fickle, to not easily make promises, but to be people who keep our word. In your name I pray. Amen.